All right, without further ado, Chris Ann Hall received her bachelor's degree in biochemistry from Blackburn College and her Juris Doctor from the University of Florida. She served in the U.S. Army as a military intelligence cryptologic linguist. She was a prosecutor for the state of Florida for nearly a decade. Chris Ann also worked with a prominent national First Amendment law firm where she traveled the country defending Americans whose rights were violated by unlawful arrests and prosecutions. She has written 6 books on American history and the U.S. Constitution. Chris Ann is a regular consultant on numerous radio, podcasts, and television programs. Without further ado, Chris Ann Hall!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Thank you, Peaceful Pond Play Sweet Shops, for already hitting that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Ring that bell. We know Peaceful Pond Play Sweet Shop because we have had some of their sweets, haven't we, dear? Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. So if you're looking for, hey, here's an idea. If you're looking to send some chocolate to Dad on Father's Day, or you got somebody that is having a birthday or something, I happen to know they deliver. So go ahead and contact them. Really great stuff. Just sort of a little prompt to advertisement there, JC, for one of our helpers out there. How are you today, JC?
I'm good.
Good. It's a great day to be alive. Great day to be a part of history. Great day to be a liberty-loving patriot. And some exciting things going on. And I thought I'd share them with you for first and foremost. You remember our friend Jordan Page, right? Mm-hmm. So let me go ahead for the people who don't know Jordan Page. I want to start off by sharing a little video for you of Jordan Page on YouTube. I think this might even, I don't even think this is Jordan's YouTube page, but it was the first thing that I grabbed. And so here is Jordan Page doing his song, Liberty.
Why do we sit down when all should be standing? And why do we back down at the critical moment, like running away from the waves of the ocean? We head for the hills with the high tide approaching, as sand slips away from the castle. When it's time to stand upright, why do we falter, like placing our freedom on the sacrificial altar? We hold tight to our fears and defend our oppressors, as we fight for their lives and become the transgressors. As pacifists transform to violent aggressors. But I'm a long, long way from my home, and they say I can't change all the things I find strange, but what can one man do alone? They say, what can one man do alone? When in When's the right time to stand up for freedom? Could it be when you start to feel creating children who'll inherit the pain and the debt of this nation and be slaves to the banks that cause hyperinflation? Who are masters of commerce, lies, and bad legislation? Whoa, if you looked in the eyes of a thousand young children through fences of razors, their innocence stolen as the red flag of tyranny flies in the open, is that when you finally notice? Whoa, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And they say I can't change all the things I find strange. For what can one man do alone? Is what can one man do alone? I'm only a stranger looking to find better nature in my fellow man. But they keep telling me it's a sin to be free, and that's more than I'm willing to stand. Where will you be when the order is given to censor your mind as free speech is forbidden, as martyrs for peace from the world will be driven away by the sound of a bellowing thunder and choke on the blood of a dream going under? As arrogant men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition. I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find strange, for I am not one man alone. Yes, I'm only a stranger. I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find strange, for I know that I'm not alone. Yes, I know I'm not alone. Not alone.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Jordan Page, who is a friend of ours, a very, very awesome guy, great father, and he is having a free live concert on May 12th at 9 p.m. And I want to share with you the information on how to get that concert. You need to go to Jordan Page, jordanpage.net, and sign up for his live stream for his concert. You will get it's going to be a Zoom link right down there at the bottom of the page. You see, when you go there, looks like we might be having some, where we go. All right. So jordanpage.net right there. Jordan's song is actually part of our non-compliant movie as well. And so we wanted you to know what Jordan has going so you can enjoy the concert that he's going to be giving at no cost. So jordanpage.net. Love that song. That's like one of my favorites that he does. That's the song that's actually in our non-compliant movie trailer. And you know, I don't think I've actually listened to that song all the way through for a really long time. And it's just amazing how much of that song is built on history and principle, you know, because here we are. He actually wrote that song many years ago. He was part of the original Ron Paul revolution. I think he even traveled and toured with Ron Paul doing some singing. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he has.
Jordan has a lot of hoodies.
He has a lot of hoodies. He's the hoodie generation guy.
It's like six hoodies in that video.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's pretty cool. Most of them were Ron Paul hoodies.
I noticed.
I didn't realize Ron Paul had so many different hoodies out because of the hoodie revolution. But, you know, that's kind of that generational thing. But it's really, really good to see him doing what he's doing. And the sort of eternal truths of what it is that he's singing. He is a folk singer of today. You know, I mean, isn't that the definition of a folk singer? He sings about politics and about society, and he has such a beautiful, beautiful voice. And his lyrics are just time tested, I think. And so can't wait for everybody to join him at jordanpage.net for his live concert. That's going to be really, really nice.
Sweet.
So he just contacted me out of the blue. I was like, Jordan, we were just talking about you just the other day. This is kind of good news. I wanted to start off with this, sort of, I guess. When you're searching for something good, and the best thing you can find is that the states are going to boot the federal government, but then give out more free money on their own. Gotta laugh. Sorry, because I go crazy if I don't. The good news is that Montana is like, forget this stuff, man. We're not going to be doing these unemployment boosts anymore. People all over the country, employers are all over the country, are trying to find employees. And there's nobody that wants to work. And I started wondering, JC, is this a plot, right? Not only do you pay people not to work, so then they don't want to work, right? Because they're actually, and even though they may not be making as much money as they would make working, they're making enough to stay home, right? They're making enough to say, why would I even bother get out of my pajamas? I can pay my rent or do what I need to do. Well, and you have rent forbearance still going on. So they don't actually have to pay rent because the CDC has said that you don't have to pay rent anymore, which, by the way, was just overturned by a federal court. A federal court just overturned that the CDC has an authority, and Health and Human Services has an authority to forbear rent. And this federal court, district court, said, no, I'm sorry, that's not part of your plenary power. Hey, that's good news, right? So now what we have to do is get the federal government to recognize what's happening and then, you know, announce the forbearance. The good news is that the federal court got this message out, made this opinion, because a group of landlords sued the government for creating the forbearance. So now what may happen, JC, is all across the country, more landlords will get together and make this lawsuit for damages, and maybe they'll stop the forbearance. I don't know.
I wonder if the hassle of going back to work has some impact here.
Oh, yeah.
All the mask and people in offices saying, or jobs saying, you got to get vaccine.
Get vaccine.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, that would seriously, you know, I've been helping people with this vaccine issue, and I was dealing with somebody. I'm helping someone who's working at a Methodist hospital, right? So generally speaking, if you work for a company that doesn't get any kind of state or federal funding, it makes it more difficult to apply the federal mandates. Private businesses can get around those kind of things because they're not accepting state or federal money. But hospitals are like colleges these days. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist or a Catholic or a Baptist hospital, everybody's getting federal money. So you can apply the rule about not mandating COVID to these hospitals because they take federal money. But the thing that I was talking to her about is because we also include in those letters a religious exemption. Do you have a religious objection to vaccinations, a firmly held religious objection? And this lady that I was helping at this Methodist hospital said, well, I already tried the religious exemption and the Methodist hospital denied my claim for religious exemption. I was like, how ironic is that? I mean, what exactly do you have the word Methodist on your hospital anymore for? What is the point of even claiming to be a religious hospital if you will not recognize that people have a firmly held religious conviction against injecting dead baby parts into their bodies? I don't get that. So anyway, Montana is looking to end this boost, to the unemployment boost, because there's a labor shortage. People aren't going to work, but they're ending it by sending money out. So they're going to end the unemployment benefits, but they're going to add a $1,200
bribe.
Go back to work.
Yeah.
If you go back to work, we will give you a benefit, right?
A bribe.
We're bribing people to go back to work now. So if you sit at home and do nothing, then, you know, maybe you'll get a few hundred bucks, but we'll give you over $1,000 to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I thought was very interesting. On a sort of non-political note, just because I was feeling like I needed something non-political today, I've been having a little bit of a trying day, I wanted to share this with everybody. Just one of those things that make you go, huh? All right. So a melting glacier reveals a World War I cave shelter and artifacts. So that means that
there was no glacier there.
Yes.
in the 40s.
Yes, there was no glacier there in the 40s. So how are you going to claim that global warming is getting rid of a glacier when the glacier didn't even exist during World War I? I mean, seriously, look at these pictures, JC. Look how much this glacier took over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly that thing moved. I mean, that's seriously huge. Filling up all this stuff. They said it acted like an artifact. It preserved all this stuff because it moved in so quickly. And now it's melting back.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
When we hear freak out because the glaciers aren't going as far as they used to. really?
Yeah, there you go. They went over the World War I shelter and now they're coming off the World War I shelter. So I had to put that out there, just sort of let everything go. Were you writing down notes for us or just for later? Oh, okay. All right. Break out the charts, Brian Worth says. He says all media is onion. So what do you think of this picture, JC? This is the new narrative, right? White privilege is because Tim Tebow is back to football before Kaepernick is back to football.
Mm-hmm.
That's the narrative.
Notice the picture.
Yeah.
Where they have to juxtapose the white guy can kneel, but it's not okay for the black guy to kneel.
Yeah.
As if kneeling was what it was about.
Right. Exactly. as if kneeling made Kaepernick a bad football player.
The expected signing of a white former NFL player.
This is just, it's...
This is the sick society we're building.
Yes, it's cancerous. It's absolutely a cancer. I mean, just crazy. Look at this. The far right, war on history, education, and thinking.
That's rich.
Yeah. Seriously, knowing the real history of the United States is essential to advancing the struggles of today. I bet Chuck Idelson wouldn't know real history if Mercy Otis Warren was resurrected from the grave and slapped him in the face. Real history. And anyone wondering why critical race theory has prompted a mad dash among the right-wing legislators and school boards to extinguish it, need only to look at similar obsessions that have made U.S. democracy an endangered species. JC, can you help me understand what that means? I don't even understand what that sentence means. What does that mean? What similar obsessions have we had of critical race theory? And first off, I mean, everybody knows this is not a democracy anyway, but
I assume he's going to tell us in the article.
Yeah. Well, right. You're assuming a lot.
Yeah.
So no, it's all about how the Republicans hate critical race theory, how the right wing leftist white supremacists.
Well, he goes off on Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's apparent rant that said CRT maintains philosophies that maintain one race or sex is superior to another race or sex, which he says is a contrived fantasy bearing no relation to what CRT teaches. The author apparently has no idea what CRT teaches, or he's a mindless moron,
right?
Because it in fact teaches that one race is superior,
yep,
to another race,
yep,
under the guise of calling for racial reconciliation. The white so-called race, which is really interesting, in the teaching is race. First off, the white race, or they say race is a biological fantasy, but a social reality. It's one of their mantras. And that...
Wait, say that again, because that doesn't make any sense.
So race is a contrivance, which, yes, I would agree with that part. Yes. So it's saying race is a biological fantasy, right?
Right.
There's no difference between the races.
But, yeah,
but they say it's a social reality. So it goes to what we talked about in how they define whiteness. So then the whiteness and what, you know, that you was invented by white people to oppress others.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's hard. Now it's hard to find, you know, what in the world was going on, because they talk about, you know, white Europeans had to invent whiteness, you know, to enslave people. So it's hard to kind of figure out what was going on when Africans enslaved other Africans and sold them to Europeans at the slave tree in Africa. Because, mm-hmm, obviously there were no white people there to invent whiteness and then set about to oppress people. What were the Africans, what did they invent to decide they wanted to oppress their fellow Africans and enslave them for sale? Yeah, I mean,
all
you could go on and on and on. So
it just
shows the utter ridiculousness of the entire philosophy. As we said before, it's not based on objective empirical evidence or history that he's clamoring about. This, yeah, not CRT is not based on history. CRT is contrary to history. CRT flies in the face of statistics. It flies in the face of data. It flies in the face of facts. It's all about the narrative, somebody's story that they tell. So you isolate a story, spin a narrative, and suggest that you have some sort of superiority to credibility because of the color of your skin. You have superior knowledge because of the color of your skin. What is this nitwit's name?
It's up here.
A philosophy that says you have superior knowledge because of the color of your skin. You have the right to speak because of the color of your skin when other people who are not the color of your skin don't have the right to speak. Mr. Idelson, that is by definition racism, you dimwit.
Chuck Idelson is the communication senior strategist for National Nurses United, the nation's largest union and professional organization of registered nurses with 150,000.
Let me ask you another question, moron. Being white, what the hell credibility do you have to stand and speak about racism to anyone? How can you, if you say you adhere to CRT, then shut the hell up. Because your skin does not allow you to say anything about it.
According to CRT.
Exactly. Right? So this is how
he's trying to defend.
Moronic
right.
These people are.
Right.
That's it's exactly like, because it's the same crowd, it's exactly like Mark Benioff, a multi-bazillionaire who made his billions off of teaching people how to maximize profits, lecturing the rest of us about the evils of maximizing profits. So if this doofus adheres to CRT, shut up, because your whiteness prevents you from speaking on it. Join the crowd with the rest of us if you're so enthralled by this racist ideology.
So this is the thing that really grabbed me in the article right here, this section. The fanatical drive to eradicate a deeper analysis of U.S. history and the ability to engage in critical thinking. As if CRT is a practice of engaging critical thinking of any way, shape, or form.
This means he has not critically analyzed CRT.
Yeah.
Because if you have, then you would not attribute the critical thinking process to this ideology.
Right.
It is exactly the opposite.
Right. Exactly. It is exactly the opposite. And so that was, and the deeper analysis of U.S. history, you know, it really sort of is an interesting collocation of words. Deeper analysis of U.S. history. What exactly are you analyzing history to discover? You see, if you're analyzing history as its truth to discover human nature so you don't repeat mistakes and you can learn from the good stuff, then I agree that it's analysis of history is good. But I don't think that's what he means by analysis of history. What I think he needs is what he means of revision of history. He means what we see is the disease of history. We need to psychologically analyze history. We need to sociologically analyze history. We need to discover, we need to invent meanings. That's what he means by deeper analysis of U.S. history.
Well, let's just be plain. They're liars. They have a particular goal that they intend to reach, and they will lie to get there. The whole paragraph there, the fanatical drive to eradicate a deeper analysis of U.S. history and critical thinking. And then he says this ideology is at the heart of a similar flurry of extremist legislation from coast to coast to restrict the right of vote. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Criminalized public protest, perhaps. Block the ability of local jurisdictions to reduce, and here's the goal, reduce the disproportionate funding of policing and many other public policies. So you see that again, defund the police, tear down the state. It's a revolutionary anarcho-Marxist ideology. They simply want to destroy this nation. They can't articulate, because you talk about critical analysis, they can't articulate any portion of the Constitution of the United States that somehow is oppressive, mm-hmm. or somehow they disagree with. Mm-hmm. So they throw out this sort of amorphous criticisms and attacks that, oh, well, the founders were racist, the system's racist. And they can't point to one single thing in our framework that supports that notion. They can point to individual cases where individual people, most likely in those cases, are not following the rule of law, are not following the Constitution. So this has nothing to do with analyzing legitimate instances of possible racism, possible abuse, possible oppression, possible excessive use of force. It has nothing to do with that. Every single one of those things is complete and utter pretense for tearing down this nation, because you, none of you, I'll say one more time, just like this absolute moron who wrote this paper. Go get the Constitution. If you're so freaking smart and convinced of this stuff, go get the Constitution. Let's sit down. Go line by line. You tell me what part of those principles is racist. What part of those principles is oppressive? What are you against? What is oppressive? Freedom of speech? Is that oppressive? Freedom to assemble? Is that oppressive? Freedom of religion? Is that oppressive? Freedom of press? That's oppressive. The fact that you're supposed to have equal representation in Congress, that's oppressive. Equal treatment under the law, that's oppressive. The right of due process, that's oppressive. What kind of moronic gobbledygook is this guy trying to preach? I tell you again, and I'm done. This is complete and utter pretense. Just be honest. Say you are a revolutionary Marxist who wants to overthrow this nation. Stop hiding behind the pretense of race and equality and transgenderism and all this other nonsense, racist freaking crap in a costume of compassion. You're a liar. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You're a racist and a Marxist. Just be honest about it. Done.
And that's what you have. Right there. And it's just, well, so what more can you say? I don't think you can say anything more than that. That's just what it is. But the attack continues, JC. So here you have, I wanted to show you this because it's not just the left, right? It's not just the left. So here we have Kevin McCarthy. So they're going to have this, they're threatening to have this vote to expel Cheney, Representative Cheney, from the GOP leadership, right? So you've got this whole, this is actually a HuffPost thing. Kevin McCarthy ripped for absolutely Orwellian line in his Liz Cheney letter. Now, what's interesting, I'm sure it doesn't surprise you, JC, that this is all pulled out of context, and so it doesn't really mean what they say it means. So that, let's see, Cheney is on the outs because she has refused to endorse former President Donald Trump's big lie about the 2020 election being stolen and has blamed him for the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol that was carried out by his supporters. Okay. That's not entirely true on why she's on the outs, but even if it is, that's nobody's business but the Republican Party's business. They are the ones that set the standards for their members.
Right.
And the Democrats have politically executed members of their party for a whole lot less, okay? Let's just be clear. If you're a Democrat and you're pro-life, your longevity in politics as a Democrat is going to be very short. If you are not in favor of union mandates, then your life as a Democrat is going to be very short politically. So McCarthy sends in this a letter to the Republican conference and says, "We are a big tent party. We represent Americans of all backgrounds and continue to grow our movement by the day. And unlike the left, we embrace free thought and debate." So then the trolls come along and say, you know, they just pull this line out of there, right? Nothing says you embrace free thought and debate like expelling people who disagree with you. Okay. The problem is not whether Liz Cheney disagrees with him or not. The problem is, does Liz Cheney violate the terms of being a Republican? Because that's really what we're talking about here. And so I want to
Now, if they can just do that from coast to coast.
Yeah, right? No doubt. So this is actually the letter that was written. And I'm going to read it. I am humbled and honored to lead this team to work alongside each one of you. As a conference and a party, we are rooted in the ideals of freedom and opportunity. We fiercely defend free speech and personal responsibility. Let's not forget that personal responsibility part there. Mm-hmm. And we know that America is at its best when the people decide their destiny, not politicians in Washington. Their voice is our vote. And then it goes on, blah, 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 ran my business. This is me, la-da-la-da-la-da. So you get down to the very last two paragraphs. He says, this is no time to take our eye off the ball. If we are to succeed in stopping the radical Democrat agenda from destroying our country, these internal conflicts need to be resolved so as to not detract from the efforts of our collective team. Did you catch that part? Mm-hmm. Collective team. We're on the same team here. Having heard from so many of you in recent days, it's clear that we need to make a change. As such, you should anticipate a vote on recalling the conference chair this Wednesday. We are a big tent party. We represent Americans of all backgrounds and continue to grow our movement by the day. Now we're getting into the part that they cherry picked. And unlike the left, we embrace free thought and debate. All members are elected to represent their constituents as they see fit. But our lead, and here's the part. All members are elected to represent their constituents as they see fit, but our leadership team cannot afford to be distracted from the important work we were elected to do and the shared goals we hope to achieve. The stakes are too high to come up short. I trust you agree.
Right.
So what he's saying is, yes, you're open to freedom of speech. Yes, you can represent your constituents the way they want to be represented. But if you're going to call yourself a Republican, then there has to be a standard.
The critics make it sound like they're throwing her out of Congress or something.
Yeah.
She's the conference chair for the Republican Party.
They're not kicking her out.
This
of
is
Congress.
Talking about the members voting to choose a different chair. What are these idiots suggesting? That Liz Cheney is now the permanent conference chair for the Republican Party until the end of time, and you're not allowed to vote to choose new leadership?
Or that Liz Cheney can say whatever she wants, no matter how it conflicts with the party's platform.
Right. And she deserves to be the leader of the party.
Are you freaking kidding me? What do you think a Democrat representative, what would happen, JC, to a Democrat representative who stepped up and publicly criticized Joe Biden? What would happen to a Democrat representative that stepped up and said, Joe Biden is an idiot. Joe Biden is a terrible president. Joe Biden should be impeached and we must get rid of him. What would happen to a Democrat? I mean, I'm not even talking about the chair of the Democrat conference. I'm talking about any Democrat.
Well,
right?
you have to have these. I don't even know what you call them. Bottom feeders like Bill Kristol crawl out of his hole to lick the boots of the Democrats.
Yeah.
These neocon. I mean, this, it doesn't get much worse than Bill Kristol. So, you know, you have these other so-called Republicans.
Well, at least Bill Kristol
have to make their comment.
Had the courage to post the whole letter so he was
what to
he
prove that he can't idiot. Read?
Yeah, to prove that he can't read, right? Yeah, I mean, seriously, but at least he posted the whole letter. The rest of these nincompoops have done us. Oh, well, there we go. There's Jake Sherman. He's posting the whole letter.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But just prove how stupid you are.
Right. So you've actually read it. It's Orwellian.
Uh-huh.
Orwellian to vote for new leadership in your conference. Yeah.
It's Orwellian to vote for leadership in your conference that matches the conference agenda.
What a bunch of hacks.
We'll talk about hacks, though, because Mitt Romney, right? Mitt Romney has chimed in, right? So Kevin McCarthy says, We're a team, and you've got to have a leader who's on the team. Right? I mean, that's basically what the letter is saying. We've heard you. When we're a team, our leader has to be on the team. Can you imagine, from a sort of basketball perspective, the Chicago Bulls has a New York Knicks coach?
You're right.
I mean, what do who would think
how
that
Orwellian
is how
to get
Orwellian,
rid of that guy.
Right?
These people are morons.
So here is Mitt Romney, right? So if you want to get the perspective of a Republican idiot, just go look at Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah.
Mitt Romney says expelling Liz Cheney from leadership won't gain the GOP one additional voter, but it will cost us quite a few.
What CNN writer is offering up Mitt Romney to us as the standard? Ah, Chris Saliza. Imagine that.
See, CNN is like Fox News.
So that's how you know it's legit, right?
Because Chris Saliza,
it's going to cost you a few votes. And he goes, nailed it.
Yeah,
Mitt Romney nailed it. Oh, thanks, Chris.
I love that. Yup, nailed it.
Thanks, Chris.
But you see what Mitt Romney's morality is rests upon.
Well, if you have Chris Saliza cheering for you, I mean, do you have to say anything else? Pretty much look at what Mitt Romney says. Mm-hmm. See if Chris Saliza gives it a thumbs up, and then take the opposite position, and you will be pretty much on target every time.
You know, I think you could probably start with see what position Mitt Romney has and take the opposite position, and you'll be good to go.
Well, I mean, he's liable to accidentally get some things right. But if they both line up, I mean, that's a guarantee. Take the opposite position and you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard Kramer, for your Grant super chat. Or no, that's not Grant. Is it Grant? No, it's Benjamin.
Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin. Flopping down the big Benjamin. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for your encouragement.
These guys are all the same team. These rhino hacks and the leftists, the revolutionary Marxists. I mean, the fact of the matter, if you understand global socialism, mm-hmm. I mean, they're the same team. They have the absolute same goals. So
here's more of all of this other crap. So you have now, I don't know how many of you wear this, but now Matt Gaetz is under federal investigation. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. It's been going on a little while.
All right. So in case you didn't know, Matt Gaetz is in a federal investigation is he paying off people, right? Is he buying favors of the opposite sex? Trying to learn whether any of the women on a trip were paid to travel and have relations with.
Well, you saw what they did with Flynn and his family and the other guys that they targeted with Trump. So, you know, not good news.
Yeah.
Not good news knowing how they operate. I mean, this is just some young girl that they're going to squeeze.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And they don't even know her name. Right. How can they? Here's what she says. If Matt Gaetz was hoping his America First tour with Marjorie Taylor Greene that kicked off at a retirement community he was at the Villages, by the way, would distract people from his ongoing scandal, he can think again. Multiple media outlets are reporting that federal investigators are now pushing for cooperation from two key witnesses in their ongoing probe into the anti-gay congressman. What the heck?
These labels crack me
anti-gay
up, man. The white football player.
The anti-gay congressman, including his ex-girlfriend. Well, we know it's an ex-girlfriend because we know he ain't gay, right?
Right.
And it sure sounds like she's feeling the heat. The unnamed ex, who is a Capitol intern.
Former
Capitol intern, who reportedly joined Gates along with several others women on a wild trip to the Bahamas back in 2018. Wild. I love how they dress all this stuff up. But the reason that I brought this up was, JC, like you said, look at all of the way they are going to try to destroy this man's life in the public opinion. Mm-hmm. Because they don't like him because
sure
he wants same to put stuff. America first.
Same stuff.
What is the? I'm confused about something with this whole propaganda movement kind of stuff, the leftists and everything. They are very nationalist, aren't they?
What does that mean?
I mean, the Marxists' agenda is nationalist, right?
I think if you hate America, you're kind of the opposite of nationalist.
No. I understand that. But isn't it generally, I mean, in China, it was all about patriotism to China. And in Russia, it was all about patriotism to Russia and turning your people who are not according to our agenda because they're not patriots. No? Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't patriotic to turn in your parents because
I'm just trying to follow. You're seriously asking if the left is patriotic?
No, I'm asking you. No. I'm not. I'm asking you: is the agenda actually nationalistic?
Even though. No.
Okay, so how is it?
Next question.
How is it that they use the guise of nationalism? Right.
You are a liars.
Right, but you are a bad, do they, because that, see, and you're, this is the conflict. They tell you it's, you have to hate America, but then they tell you you're not American, you're un-American if you don't do this. Yeah, because of Russians, if you don't turn in your parents.
No, I think, I see what you're getting at. Okay, they understand that the people who follow them are idiots. So, let me go back to mentioning my favorite billionaire to hate, Mark Benioff. It's the same thing. So he can be a gazillionaire and sit at the World Economic Forum and lecture the rest of humanity about being evil for focusing on maximizing profits when his customer relations management software was right. What made him billions, helping entrepreneurs maximize profits. I think what you're asking, they don't see that contradiction. That contradiction never clicks for them. No, so they can start talking in all these sort of patriotic, nationalistic sounding terms, while at the same time telling everybody how bad and how evil America is. Mm-hmm. So these leftist politicians have an incredibly low view mm-hmm. of their voters and of their constituency. They think they're the dumbest people on the planet. They may be, but that's their view. So none of that troubles them. So, yeah, I mean, they're liars. I mean, they're just liars and hypocrites. That's all there is. So yeah, you're seeing that right. It didn't compute. It doesn't compute. But they don't care. Yeah. They don't care. And that's the whole thing that, you know, we desperately try to enlighten people and continue to expose it and teach true history and teach what America really is. So maybe they can see this contradiction.
Right.
But for the life of me, I don't know why people are so blind to not notice that contradiction.
See, that's the whole thing that gets me. I can't wrap my brain around the reconciliation of the conflict. I simply cannot.
Right.
I mean, I try to look at it.
If you hate America, why should you care what this congressman's behavior, act, or decision, or whatever anything is doing to hurt America?
Yes.
Shouldn't you applaud that? If you're consistent to what they're preaching, shouldn't you celebrate that?
Yeah.
So none of them are rational. None of it will be logical. But the thing is, I think most Americans, and I think they know this, and I think this is what you're feeling here. I think most Americans inherently do love their country, and I think even a majority of their voters. So they walk this weird line of having to preach this constant America-hating agenda, while then, you know, how do we not alienate these others? And then what do we do to appeal to this? So, you know, it's complete confusion and chaos.
Yeah.
But again, I think they have their constituency so confused that they can just constantly spout this contradictory nonsense.
Well, speaking of confusing and contradictory nonsense, so Health and Human Services, this really is just bothering me. Biden forcing Catholic and religious entities to violate beliefs with new Health Human Services rule, critics say. So I get really confused by all these titles. Do they actually think that Biden is writing these rules? I don't know. Okay. So anyway, it's a complete lack of understanding of civics. And the way politics
I think they get it. I think they're just taking the opportunity to shine the light on the fact that Biden claims the Catholic faith. And so they're trying to spotlight that. Well,
that's why they say Catholic and religious entities. Right. They could have just easily said Baptist or Methodist.
Sure.
But, right. So the Biden administration will force doctors to act against, quote, their best medical judgment and conscience, one critic. Now, let me show you what that is. President Biden, so you're right. That's what it's about. What I'm saying, though, is it's just
no, it sends that signal. Like,
it's a signal.
What does he have to do with it anyway?
Exactly, yeah. Okay? But this is the one thing that annoys me about the media. Is everything is about the president.
Mm-hmm.
You go, maybe it's because we've been flying a little bit more than usual, right? I get so freaking irritated when we are in every airport in America and every ignorant flight attendant and every ignorant airport employee says, we have a federal law that says you have to wear a mask. There is no federal law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congress has passed no freaking law. As a matter of fact, there's not even a federal regulation to wear masks. The FAA has not had time to issue a rule or regulation. If there is an issuing of a rule or regulation, it takes like 90 days to go into effect. And you have to, in that 90 days, you have to have it open to, you know, people have to be able to issue responses and comments. And I mean, the whole process is just crazy.
We have to hear, what's her name? Jane Castor. Every time you land in the Tampa airport, it is federal law that you blah, blah, blah.
And like, the airports, it's federal law. No, the president of the United States issued an executive order.
You mean the resident in the White House?
Is not law. It is not law. It is not law. So I don't simply know what's going on. What bothers me is this complete lack of understanding of what exactly. Yeah, and we know what's going on, but it's this complete lack of understanding in the American mind of what a law actually is, what the power of the president actually is, what is the unauthorized power being exercised by these agencies.
It
drives me freaking nuts.
I
haven't even gotten past the first sentence. So I'm trying to get into this.
No, but I was wondering this. We landed in Tampa Airport. It was just a couple of days ago. And I know you have that thought. I have that thought every time you hear it. We're standing at the baggage claim.
It makes me want to hit somebody when they come up to me and try to tell me that stuff. I mean, really.
I seriously had the thought while I was standing there. I looked around and I said to myself, are we the only two people in this airport? And it was crowded. I said, are we the only two people in this airport that just got ticked off by that announcement saying it's federal law? It's like it doesn't even faze anybody. They don't even notice.
One of these days, if they keep saying that, JC, I'm just going to put you on notice.
You're going to scream.
One of these days, I am going to step up on top of one of these luggage racks, these luggage things, right in the middle island that doesn't move. Maybe I'll stand on the part that moves, so I'll move around the sticking baggage claim, and I'm going to give a lesson on the power of the president and the creation of law. I would love to simply play the Schoolhouse Rock I'm just a bill. Yes, what? I'm only a bill, but I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. So somebody in the audience will be able to get some education on the difference between a law and a kingly decree. I'm just warning you. Chris Ann is like three ticks from a pop at this point.
It's not a law.
Oh my God. You ought to be glad I don't have a can of spray paint on me at any given time, because I'd be like, so I just, you're going to have to bail Chris Ann out of jail for vandalizing the Tampa airport because she can't stand the lies that are printed on the walls. Oh my gosh. Drives me nuts.
I was sitting here thinking about going to the Hillsborough Library tomorrow.
See if they try to make you wear a mask.
I probably shouldn't say it on air because it'll mess up my court case.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. A new rule that critics say would force religious doctors to violate their deeply held beliefs about gender. Okay, so this is problem number one. Health and Human Services will not have jurisdiction over a doctor unless they work for a hospital that
takes federal funds.
So the headline should read, religious hospitals violate their faith by taking federal money
and subjecting themselves to Biden's anti-Catholic orders.
Yep. I mean, seriously.
That's good. I like it.
On Monday, HHS rule would reverse the Trump administration's decision to interpret a sex discrimination statute as applying to just biological sex rather than including gender identity or sexual orientation. Advocates say that in doing so, the Biden administration would require federally funded hospitals and insurers to support gender-related treatments and procedures, both of which conflict with Catholic teaching and what other religions believe. Well, my Bible says that God is our provider, not government. My Bible says to obey God rather than men. And what you have here is a bunch of religious in name only hospitals. Taking federal money should conflict with Catholic teaching. Taking federal money should conflict with what other religions believe. And so the fact that they're taking federal money is the conflict, not the Health and Human Services rule.
Not sure why they would need federal money.
Well, they need federal money because they have no faith. Mm. So that's why they need money, because they have no faith and they think my God is bankrupt because they don't know my God. They got some false God that hangs on a wall with gold trim and
needs a bailout
and needs a government bailout. That is not my God. That is the God of Baal. And that is their God. So any hospital that runs around with some kind of religious symbol on the door, turns around and takes federal money, proves that they are not believers in the real God. And I just made some mad people out there.
I like it.
So
we say the same thing about same thing to Christian schools.
Yeah.
That makes them mad.
If your Christian schools take money, then they're not Christian schools. They're government schools.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me you're going to a Christian school if your Christian school takes government bailout money, because that's not a Christian school. That is a school that carries the Christian name, but does not carry the faith necessary to call themselves of the name of Christ. So that's what we have today.
If you don't think he can pay your bills, how do you think he can get you to heaven?
Right. If God is insufficient to meet your earthly needs, how in the world is he going to meet your heavenly ones? So go take your claptrap somewhere else and don't tell me you're being discriminated against. Don't tell me the president is forcing you to do something beyond your beliefs. You have already proven you have no belief. Or the only belief you have is that you need government money and you are ruled by a king. So there you go.
Amen.
All right, guys, that's been the show for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Our time is up.
It's been pretty ranty around here.
Oh, man. Chris Ann has had a ranty day. This has been boiled up inside me for about, 12 hours. I don't know. Some things in Chris Ann Hall's life about to change. And because she's three ticks from a pop. And when that happens, everybody else better just hunker down and wait for
the shelter in place.
Shelter in place. Chris Ann's about to pop. And we gonna have it. So thank you guys for joining us. God willing, and a creek don't rise, we will see you tomorrow.